All right. Before we pray, let's look into the scripture, encourage our hearts a bit, hopefully. We're in the book of Psalms tonight, and if you'd like to join us there, our place is Psalm 116. Psalm 116. We're just going to look at bits of it, not even read the whole thing through. But there are portions of this that are encouraging in regard to this little micro study we've been doing of answered prayer in the scripture. We have an answered prayer here before us in this psalm. The psalmist alludes to this, and I think it just might prove to be encouraging to all of us. And this is Psalm 116, and we'll start with the first two verses. He says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. Now he starts off by saying that God has heard him, God has inclined his ear to him. And the simple question is, well, how do you know? How do you know if God's heard you? How do you know if he's inclined? Other than by faith. I mean, by faith we know certain things, don't we? John will tell us that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And that's just one of those blanket statements, not to everyone on this planet, but to the believer, that if we pray according to the heart and the mind of God, we know that he's listening to us. But he says here, I love him because he hears my supplications, my voice, and he has inclined his ear to me. And I think the simple answer that we're gunning for here, looking for here, is he knows this because the Lord has answered him. He has put his petition before the Lord, and the Lord has heard him. Now, this is the way that John puts this. He says, we know that if he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we've asked from him. And this may be looking at this situation from a different vantage point, but it comes to the same conclusion. When God hears us in prayer, he answers the requests that are made. And so I submit to you that in these first two verses, we have the psalmist praising God because the Lord has heard his voice, and he has made his supplications which have come before the Lord, and he has inclined his ear to him. Now, at this point, before we go any further, there's two unknowns here that encourage us, or should encourage us. Number one, we don't know who the author was. I'm pretty sure in your Bible it doesn't say this is a psalm of David or Asaph or Ethan or Heman or any of those things. It just says, mine says, thanksgiving for deliverance from death. What does yours say? But it doesn't ascribe it to anybody, does it? It's not part of the psalm book here. We don't know exactly who wrote this. And so this is an unknown to us. And the other thing that we don't know is what actual prayer he prayed. Now, this is the encouragement. If we knew the author, say David or Asaph, then we could say, yeah, I know why the Lord's answering his prayer, because he prays, I mean, he's a king of Israel, or he's one of the great singers there at the temple. We understand that. Or if Paul or Peter had prayed this, we'd say, well, sure, I mean, God listens to the apostles. And they pray and get answers from him because they are the hand-chosen ones selected by God. And we rationalize in our minds, I understand that person getting his prayer answered. I understand this one, the great ones of the faith. Moses prays. It's no real surprise that he sees God's glory. Joshua, this is a bit of a surprise, but we'll say it anyway. Joshua tells the sun to stand still, and it does. They walk around the little place called Jericho and the walls fall. These are things that we say, yes, and these are the great ones of the earth. No wonder their prayers are answered. But we don't know who prayed this. We don't know who wrote this. This much we know, he was inspired by the Spirit, and the hand of God is upon him as he writes this for us. But who's the man? What's the encouragement there? We can put ourselves in this place then, can't we? We're not looking at the worthiness of a man, we're looking at the goodness of God. Since we don't know who this was, we don't know his pedigree, it's almost like we don't know exactly who Melchizedek was, except that God set him forth as an example. We don't know who prayed this prayer here and who sang this great song. And so, I just submit to you, you can plug your name into such a prayer, such an open-ended thing, such an non-specific asking of God. The other unknown is we don't know exactly the prayer. He says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. He has inclined his ear to me. I'll call upon him as long as I live. We don't know the prayer. And therefore, without going any further, and he's going to get a bit more specific in a moment, but sticking to these first two verses, we don't know who wrote this and we don't know exactly his situation. And really, he won't spell it out. So we don't know exactly what he prayed and we don't know exactly the answer. Now, how does that apply to us? Fill in the blank. I like that. I like that very well. I didn't have an answer there. I really appreciate that. We can bring our requests to God. In fact, think of that verse. Let your requests be made known to God. Well, which ones does he answer? Does he answer along a certain category, a certain a list that we dare not stray from? Or does he say, however many needs you have, bring them to me? And that's the teaching of the scripture. Whatever your burden is, cast it upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. And it's not like he is the God of the mountains and not the God of the plains. And so he answers mountain prayers, but not valley prayers, or vice versa. No, he is the God of all things in all places. And so wherever the people of God are, they can lift up their voice in whatever the situation in which they find themselves, they can bring that petition before God. He has inclined his ear to me, and therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. Praying this one prayer? No, this one prayer that was answered so encouraged him that he said, for the rest of my days, I will bring my multitude of needs and cases before my Heavenly Father, and he will hear me as he always has, and he will be graciously inclined to answer. Praise be to his name. Now, we do get some sort of idea as he goes on of what was confronting the man. Again, he's not terribly specific, but we do get this. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. The cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. And I said, O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Or verse 7, which has, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, for you have rescued my soul from death. And here's this sense. This was what was confronting this man. Death in some form or fashion, the cords of death encompassed me, the terrors of Sheol, they came upon me, and God had rescued his soul from death. Was it physical death? Was it spiritual, emotional, mental, financial? Whatever the kinds of death might confront any of us. Death of a loved one, death of a marriage, death of a child, death of a spouse, death of the work of God in our land. These are things that confront us, all kinds and forms of death, and we don't know exactly what it was. But again, we can turn that to our benefit, can't we? Well, the Lord spared this man, whatever it was, whatever form of death was trying to wrap its tendrils around this fella and drag him down. He said, the Lord heard his cry, and the Lord rescued me from just that thing. Now, as you think upon this, Listen to the man. I like the confession of his faith when he says in verse 9, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted, I said in my alarm, all men are liars. And so men were somehow involved in this, and yet God spared him. Now, I think we should notice well this response. And he puts this question for us in verse 12 and the answer in verse 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all that he's done, for all of his benefits toward me? This is how he prays it. What shall I give back to God? And this is his answer. It's a mysterious one. I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I thought Spurgeon was particularly good in this, and so I'd like to just share this thought with you from his commentary on the Treasury of David. And by the way, if ever you want a really good commentary on the book of Psalms, I recommend this better than anything. The Treasury of David by C.H. Spurgeon. By the way, I asked once John Pretlove, I said, Dr. Pretlove, I'd like to get a wet commentary. I've got too many dry ones. Can you recommend a wet one? This is what he said. And he was right, and I'm thankful for that. All right, what did Spurgeon say? He says, he wisely leaves off fretting about men's falsehood and his own ill humor, and he directs himself to his God. Now, I will take the cup of salvation. He says, I will take is a strange answer to the question, what shall I render? What am I going to give? What I'm going to take? You get this. Now that may be, he's reading to us from the King James. Maybe yours reads something like that. What will I render? I will take the cup of salvation. I will take is a strange answer to the question, what shall I render? And yet it is the wisest reply that could possibly be given. Then he has four lines of poetry here. The best return for one like me, so wretched and so poor, is from his gifts, to draw a plea and ask him still for more. To take the cup of salvation was in itself an act of worship, and it was accompanied with other forms of adoration. Hence the psalmist says, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. He means that he will utter blessings and thanksgivings and prayers, and then drink of the cup which the Lord had filled with his saving grace. We have a picture of this. Every time we take the Lord's table, we have a cup there. And it is a picture of what Jesus said, this is my blood. Take this and drink it. And we're drinking unto ourselves the very life that he's died to give for us. Well, let me go back to Spurgeon here. What a cup this is. Upon the table of infinite love stands the cup full of blessing. It is with joyful hearts to laud. I'm sorry, it is ours to take by faith in our hand and make it our own and partake of it. And then with joyful hearts to laud and magnify the gracious one who has filled it for our sakes, that we may drink and be refreshed. We can do this figuratively at the sacramental table. We can do it spiritually every time we grasp the golden chalice of the covenant, realizing the fullness of blessing which it contains, and by faith receiving its divine contents into our inmost soul. Beloved reader, let us pause here and take a long and deep draught from the cup which Jesus filled, and then with devout hearts, let us worship God. What will I give to God for all that he's done for me? What rendering shall I give back to him? I'll just take more. Moses said, go with us, please. I'll do it. If you don't go with us, then don't send us forth. I'll do that. Well, then, all right. Now show me your glory. He's saying, here's my cup. Just fill it up, and I'm going to drink from this. And the Lord says, I'll do this of which you speak as well. And this dear man here, as confronted as he was by death, he brings this to God. He is brought through it by the mercy of God. And then he says, in response, I'll bless God for the mercy he has given. And I'll lift it up to him and praise his name and take yet more. Well, I pray that if there is something coming against any of us of the nature of death, whatever form or shape, fashion or quality, that we can bring this to God and say, Lord, I feel as if I'm about to die. Death is wrapping its cords around me. They're encompassing me. It may just be the very fear of it, as he says in verse 3, the terrors of Sheol coming upon me. Maybe we found distress. Maybe we're in sorrow. Whatever it was, this man says, and we can put our own, we can fill in the blank here. Like, this is my story. This is my problem. And God, who knows it all, can help us right there. Until we can say, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is compassionate. He preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Me. It's these sufferings that we go through that make God very, very personal to us. It's these things that touch us, that open our eyes to see him, until we say, and he cares for me, and he listens to me, and oh, how he loves me. Let's pray.